Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is it is a Thursday, and it's June 27th.
Yeah.
So
get your shit together. Right?
I really, yeah. Well, you know how my morning is gone, right?
It's gonna be fine.
And I was here early. I mean, the traffic actually started moving for after a while, and I got here early, you know. But all I had was problems this morning. Nothing's fucking working. And somebody, you know, somebody who's spiritual will tell you, oh, it's what they call Mercury retrograde or something.
Yeah.
Where all the electronics stop working.
Yeah, something like
maybe
that.
Maybe that's what it is.
My car radio doesn't work, so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's what it is. But no, I'm counting actually three major problems happened this morning. You know, how is that possible?
I mean, it only goes up from there.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all technical stuff.
On that note of spiritual, I had my first reading.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
By a psychic?
Yeah.
And?
I wouldn't say she's a psychic. She's a witch.
A witch?
Yeah. She was dead
what
on about everything.
Mean? Really?
But I have two curses on me.
You do?
She's like, that's why everything in your life has been at a standstill and you keep losing money. I was like, and I didn't even tell her. She just knew.
Yeah.
So I believe her. Everything she said, even about like guys I used to date in their situation, she was dead on about everything.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She said, I have a curse that's been running in my family with just the woman. And then someone that's a stalker from the internet put a hex on me. Someone I don't even know.
And you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, I know you don't believe in that type
of
stuff.
What do I know? Yeah. Maybe I don't know anything.
I believe in it.
No, I know you do. I know. Mm-hmm. Many people do because it's comforting, I think.
Well, you didn't know what sleep paralysis was, so you're not in tune with the sixth sense.
I guess not.
Are you? Do you?
I do have sleep paralysis. I do.
No, you said you never had it.
No, sometimes I do. I just didn't know what you were referring to.
What is it?
But it's like trying to wake up and you're not able to wake up.
But do you see stuff when that's happening?
And a dream. I don't know, a dream.
Do you see yourself?
I don't know. It's like a dream and suddenly I want to open my eyes and they don't open.
Kind of. So then you should be in tune with your sixth sense.
I am.
Because a lot of people don't have sleep paralysis. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, if it works for you, that's fine. I just hate to think you have a curse on you. How are you supposed to get rid of it?
Oh, there's like a million things I have to do today.
Really?
Yeah.
Like sage your house?
Oh, I bought sage yesterday and I bought crystals yesterday.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. I was preparing for this. But I've been saying for like over 2 years, somebody put a curse on me. I've been saying this. Now I just know.
Why? Because you feel nothing's working out for you?
Yeah, but it's not, and it's not that I'm like a bad person. I just feel like last year, I did how many Skype interviews for shows?
Right.
And I didn't land one of them. In my entire life, I've never not gotten a show that I tried out for.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yeah,
I'm like, this has to be something else.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not killing.
It can be something else, but does it mean it's that? I don't know.
No, just stop it. You're a non-believer.
Okay.
I don't want any negative energy, and you
you're right.
Is negative energy.
Mr. Skeptic here.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry.
I just want something to happen to you where you believe.
Well,
you should just get one reading.
Look, I believe in spiritual stuff. I believe in God and all that, but I don't believe in curses and stuff like that. I don't know.
Believe in God, you believe in Satan, right?
There's in Judaism, there's no Satan the way it is in Christianity.
Yeah, but there's
okay?
like an evil power, correct?
There's the negative side of everything.
So then if you believe in a God and you believe in whatever it is your devil is,
right.
then you should believe in magic.
Why?
Or spirits.
Why?
Facts.
I don't think people have special powers. I really don't.
Okay. Let's bring on our guest.
Yeah, let's put on our guest right now because she's like, what the hell are they talking about? But hold on just a second. Are you getting ready for the weekend? Do you have any plans?
I'm going to a pool party on Sunday. That's about all my plans are. I'm literally trying to like get focused on trying to sell my movie. So I'm not going to go out until I do that. But in my reading, she showed me a hermit.
Uh-huh.
She goes, this is you, right? And I go, what is that? I had no idea what it was. She goes, it's a hermit. I go, can you be more specific? She goes, you never leave your house. You don't socialize much. I said, yeah. She goes, you need to stop doing that.
I don't think so. I think you socialize a lot.
I really
more
don't.
More than many people do. I'm telling you.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I haven't gone out since.
So relative, I guess.
I haven't gone out since last Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't gone out since last month.
Oh my. Yeah. I mean, in the grand, I guess compared to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
For my age, though, I don't go out that
no.
much.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right. Well.
He's in the shit talking mood this morning. If you can't tell. Mood,
yeah. Well, we do have a special guest in the studio, and we'll introduce her right now. Ms. Drew Denny, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Are you an LA local?
I am. I live here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you from here?
Yeah.
No, I'm from Austin, Texas, originally.
Mm. Oh wow!
But I've been here for a while.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what brought you here? Movie making?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came here to go to film school, and then I stuck around.
Yeah.
Wow. Was that at college age that you came here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to USC film school.
Oh, how was growing up in Texas? What was that like?
Ooh.
Austin is pretty nice, right?
Austin is an oasis, yeah. You know, I mean, I love country music and Tex-Mex and the rodeo, but Texas can be a challenging place if you're,
really?
If you're different in any way. So
that sucks.
Ran away to California as soon as I could.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine. Doesn't sound like a place I'd go for more than like 2 days. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But what does it mean different? Did you feel different there or what?
You don't have an accent.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. She's like, thank God.
It comes out if I have a few, you know.
That's what they all say, right?
Yeah, not at all. Because I've met Texans that have like heavy accents.
Yeah. You know, I realized quickly after moving here that people think you're stupid if you have a country accent. And so I use it only when it works in my favor for some. And I'm like, oh, I didn't see that parking sign.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Otherwise, I speak like this.
That's so funny.
Very cool. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have two sisters.
Oh, younger?
I'm the middle.
Oh, you're the middle.
Yeah.
Are they both still in Texas or here?
That one is in Texas, one is in Connecticut. So we're all over the place.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's how families are today, you know? I mean, I got a brother in China. Mm. He's here, by the way, you know, because... my mom is not doing very well at all. She might actually pass in a few days.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She's totally different now than she was. She went to the hospital. She came out. She hasn't asked for a cigarette. I mean, cigarettes were her life. You have to understand. And she hasn't asked for one. She barely has any facial expressions. And she's detached, you know? So that's the way my dad was in the last few days. So we'll see.
So is that what you're planning on doing this weekend? Just preparing for that? Is that when did he fly in?
Oh, my brother, 2 days ago.
Oh.
So yeah, we're kind of, you know, I mean, she's doing bad. We told him to come, you know? So we'll see. I don't know how long it'll take, but I'll deal with it then. I already sort of like started accepting this when she was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I was alone with her. Sort of like half talking to her and stuff, bawling my eyes out.
Because
it's your mom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like a mother.
No.
You've known her all your life. But at this point, the way she is now, it would be better for her to just move on, join my dad.
Mm,
it's like in 2 years, I lose both my parents. But to happier things. So so you grew up in Texas, in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to Austin?
I drove through Texas.
Oh, but
that's a long drive.
Yeah.
And Texas is a long, I mean, big state.
It was 16 hours of the trip.
Yeah.
I was like, this is insane because I drove across the country when I moved here. And when I got to Texas, I was like, I wanted to stop in Dallas just because, like, you know, I've always wanted to be like, I went to Dallas too. But I just was so over the trip by then. I was like, I'm not even doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Big state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too big. Like, you need to take a plane from, like, Austin to Dallas.
It's true.
Yeah. When did you first show interest in film, in actually working in film?
When I was in high school, I took a screenwriting class.
Mm-hmm.
I had been interested in acting. And then, you know, the more I got into theater and acting, I got into film. And then I learned that there was, you know, a person who told the actors what to do. Well, that's how it was first described to me. Now I know that's not exactly how it works, but I was like, oh, I want to be that guy. And getting into directing is really fun because you actually get to participate in all the parts of the process.
That's true. I look at it as like a painter, you know, the director's the painter, and you draw the picture that you're expected to draw, I guess, from the producers, whatever,
mm-hmm.
or if it's your own work and stuff. But The director is a painter, you know. I think the actors are just the paint.
Mm.
You know, if you look at it that way, you know, although, you know, I don't want to simplify what they do.
I don't know, because if the director has a nice painting and the actors don't deliver how that painting should come out, then boop, there goes your movie.
You shouldn't release the movie then. Right.
No, I mean, everyone is a necessary component. I think film is amazing because it's one of the most collaborative mediums in the world. So every person is necessary. And every person brings their own expertise and passion. And that's what's so cool about getting to direct, is that you get to work with actors who've been honing their instrument, their body, their voice, their emotions for their whole lives. And they bring so much to life. And then the writers and every department, the costumes, makeup, production design, cinematographer, sound, everybody has nerded out in this one facet of the industry that they've become an expert in. And then when you get together a team, it's like superheroes. They all know their realm so well that you can bring something to life and make it magical.
Right. Yeah.
So you moved here. Where did you go to school?
I went to USC Film School.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. We have a smart filmmaker here, you know?
I feel like we've had a few that have gone there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to get into, right?
It's pretty competitive.
Yeah. So obviously you did well in high school, right?
I was the salutatorian of
life. Really?
Is that a good thing?
It sounds like something nasty. No, it just means I was the second highest GPA.
Oh, wow, girl.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Nope, I can't.
Whoa.
I was like in the 10th percentile, but I was definitely not the second smart. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Then I went to college and I said, screw this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been a dream of mine to graduate so high in class, so you should be proud of yourself. Mm-hmm. Was that like, I'm sure it takes, you have to be smart and a good student, but were you also into it, into what school? You were learning? Yeah.
I've always been into writing and the arts, mm-hmm. and I think the rest, I was really motivated to get out of my town.
Right.
Oh, damn. So you knew. You're like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah. She's like, first it's a state, now it's a town.
Well, you know, I was motivated to be able to do what I wanted to do with my life. And I knew that I would need to get into a good school and have access to an education to learn how to.
Yeah. So you focused on that, then you knew. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you see, that's the thing. If you approach school in a professional way, like it's a business, then you do what it takes.
Yeah, but a lot of people at that age aren't really thinking like that.
That's true.
Except for the smart ones like
that's
you.
That's true. I mean, I'm for college, waiting a couple of years before you go to college for most people, you know? Because it's 12 years of school. You want to take a break, you know?
Yeah, but you don't want to take too long of a break because then you go back and it's like, oh, I'm like 90
now. Take
a
year,
I don't think college is necessary forever. I mean, I think it's a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. I could have learned to make movies another way, being an assistant to someone.
Right.
And, you know, getting into the field professionally. I do. I like school. I like learning. So it works for me. I had amazing teachers. I mean, I was expelled from two high schools. So I don't mean to paint like a goody two shoes picture.
For what? Fighting?
Yeah.
How would you get kicked out of school? What happened there?
Studying on the weekend and punching people in the face during the week. Yeah.
It's a long story. I have time, you know, but if you don't want to tell it, you don't have to.
I mean, if the crimes are like sex, drugs, and violence, I'll just say it wasn't violence.
Okay.
Damn girl.
Yeah.
I love it.
Don't always believe what's on the outside. You know,
she was hanging out with the boys under the bleachers.
Yeah, with drugs.
Not just the boys.
Even better. Even better. And a small town's probably like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's why you felt different. So you had to move away, right?
Yeah. And LA is much more accepting town. I like it here.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Wow.
At what age did you discover you called it different?
I knew pretty young. I came out first as bisexual when I was 13.
Right. Which is pretty young, yeah.
It was pretty young. I had a girlfriend in middle school. I had a girlfriend in high school. And then I've come out like 7 times as 7 different, you know, bi, pan, lesbian, queer. At this point, my big sister's just like, it's whatever. We love you.
Exactly. Yeah, no name or label on that, right?
Yeah.
You'll just go with anything that goes. Wow.
He's like, yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you were pretty sexual early on, right? Yeah. I mean, you had like, it was preoccupying your mind.
I mean, I was pretty curious teenager. I think that it's a a myth that like boys are really horny and girls are like, oh, no.
Thank you. That's what I've been saying forever.
That's how we were brought up. That's why I always felt that women don't really want sex. They're doing it for the guy. That was a long time ago. That's how I grew up.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a loss for everyone.
Yeah. I know, but that was in the 60s. You know, people wouldn't admit. Mm-hmm. But like you're saying, you know, I mean, at any age, I think, I mean, I was pretty horny very young, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I know what you mean, you know? I know what you mean.
Yeah, I wish that there was more examples and stories for young women to be like, it's cool if you're turned on. Like, just be in charge of yourself.
Yeah,
you know, you decide what the rules are. You decide what happens with your body.
Right.
If something happens that you don't like, you get to talk about it and you won't be shamed for that.
Right. They should have that. It should definitely be like in school courses and like middle school, not high school, because like that's when people start to have. Yeah, I had sex in middle school.
Yeah.
And if someone had been like, here's how you'll feel good.
Yeah.
I would have appreciated that.
And if you say no, yeah, it's okay to press charges.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Speak up.
And it's not your fault.
Yeah. Because then people in high school, too, if you, like, watch a lot of, like, Lifetime movies like I do, like, if someone gets, like, raped in high school, no one wants to say anything because then they feel like they're going to be a loser for the rest of high school. Like, if a freshman gets raped by a senior, it's like, oh, for 4 years, I'm going to be walking around school like, oh, she's the girl. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so say it. Who cares?
He's a loser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People, girls, yeah, I think there should be, like, better courses for that for sure.
Wow. Wow. I don't know, man, it's too much, but I mean, my daughter came out to me, but it was very casual, like kind of like a side note, you know. It's not like she said, well, dad, you know, I'm like this and all that. It was just like, yeah, I'm gay, you know. So I'm like, okay, you know. So I wasn't sure because she wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. You know, and now she's starting being I don't know if militant, but she came in, she posted something about being gay and how people treat her and other people and stuff. And I thought she's becoming like an activist. Yeah.
Right,
activist on. Probably or something, you
right,
know?
Right.
So, and to me, it's just like, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I love you. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what you want to do with yourself.
Right.
And, yeah. So, I mean, you love your kids, you know, who cares?
Mm-hmm. So you're an ally.
Well, I'm an ally.
Yeah.
I try not to be anybody's enemy, you know? It puts me in a very bad mood.
Yeah, and you don't want to have any curses put on you.
Yeah,
either.
No hexes. Yeah,
even
no
though way. You don't believe in it. Do you believe in that stuff?
I'm into witches, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. And she was so dead on. I got like goosebumps. I was like, yo, this chick is
Whoa.
The truth.
I need
yeah.
to get your witch's number.
Oh, yeah. I'll give it to you, yeah. For sure. And I'm not going to post because I do like YouTube videos and stuff. I'm not even posting about this because whoever put a curse on me, if I say, oh, she lifted the curse, so she can only do it on tomorrow or Saturday because the moon is going to be in waning. Ooh, uh-huh. So she's like, thank God you called me now, because if you called me past Sunday, I wouldn't have been able to do anything for a month.
Oh.
I'm like, so is my luck going to turn around by next week, possibly?
Yeah, possibly. Maybe it will. You know, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah. you don't know because you don't believe in it.
Well, I'm still on the fence about some things, but not about witches. I mean, you have to believe in all these like forces and stuff
mm-hmm.
that people can manipulate. I don't believe that.
You don't believe in spirit guides? Like if you're driving down Sunset Boulevard and you never notice one billboard, but you just happen to look at a billboard that like makes you think of something that you were supposed to do 5 weeks before, and you're like, oh shit, I got to do this.
But there's associations in our mind. That's how we think.
Those are spirit guides.
Oh, okay.
That's he doesn't, easier he doesn't believe at
That's
all.
Easier to explain than trying to go with the science of it all, you know?
You know what I just said? I just realized that my person that stalked me could be listening to this, and I just said everything on air.
Come on, relax. I'll give you a good blessing, and you'll be fine. You know, a blessing is stronger than a curse.
Okay. Is there a counter curse? Can we curse back?
Yeah, she said you could. But I'm like, I don't want that karma. I don't want that karma at all.
Oh, well.
I wonder if there's karma that. Anyways, back to you.
Yeah. We're joined by Drew Denny, and she's made an action film. We just watched the trailer. It's called Momster. And what's the meaning of the name?
Momster, it's Amanda Plummer plays this character who's like a notorious America's Most Wanted bank robber.
Wow.
And she had to desert her daughter when her daughter was a baby to run away from the cops.
Mm.
So all her daughter wants, who's her daughter's name is Angel, and she's played by Brianna Hildebrand from Deadpool. It's all she wants is for her mom to come back and rescue her so they can be a mother-daughter bank robber duo. And but the mom has a reputation, you know, she's a hardcore criminal, so people call her the mobster.
Oh, I see. I like love a it. Mobster yeah. or something. Wow. Pretty cool. So, wow, what a story. Did you come up with the story?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Really? Mm-hmm. When did you write it?
I wrote it last summer. It was, it's funny, my, well, it's not necessarily funny, but maybe surprising.
Ironic.
It is a personal tale. It's like an action movie. It's supposed to be really fun. But at the heart of it, I came up with the idea when I was taking care of my mom, who has some memory issues. And we were in the middle of like a Winn-Dixie grocery shopping, and she kind of forgot what was going on for a second.
Aww.
And it, yeah, it's a little heartbreaking, but it's also, you know, stressful, and it can be kind of absurdly funny because suddenly you're like, I came out of your vagina. I'm your daughter.
Yeah, right.
Hello. You explained to her. We're just buying bananas. Yeah. Remember, we're gonna go back home now. And other people in the store are like, what's happening? Is she abducting that lady? You know. And then I'm like, no, it's my mom. And in that moment, I thought, you know, what if we weren't at the grocery store right now? Like, what if we were robbing a bank? You know, what if the stakes were just a lot higher?
Right. And she like completely forgot. She has a mask on holding a gun.
Yeah. She's like, wait, what am I
doing here?
That's what happens in the movie, is that Amanda Plummer's character, everyone is afraid of her because she has this reputation of being this amazing bank robber. But what they don't know is that in the years that she's been in hiding, she's, you know, kind of lost her marbles a little bit. And now maybe she has Alzheimer's or dementia. And so when she comes in, she's pulling off this bank robbery. And everyone's like, oh, my God, this scary woman. And then suddenly she's like, what's happening?
Right.
But who has the power in that moment? Because she still's got the gun, you know.
Right. Wow.
Shit.
What a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny how one day at the store with your mom can make you write a whole movie script.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It shows you're creative. You can take something that happened and turn it into a story, you know, mm-hmm. a full mm-hmm. story.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So did you have any actors in mind when you were writing this or...
You know, I try to write, like, dream big but not get attached to anyone because, you know, especially when you're making a short, I knew that for this project I'd have to make a short proof of concept because it's a big idea and I had never made an action movie before. And I don't know if you've read the statistics, but the movie industry doesn't really give women that many chances. So people aren't just running around writing women directors big checks to try their dream project.
I think that's such bullshit.
It is.
Like, that's insane. And we'd probably write a better movie than anyone with a dick, but it's cool.
That's one of the show.
But so I knew I'd have to make, you know, a proof of concept, and I didn't want to get my hopes up about a big actor wanting to be in a little short. But after I wrote the script, I started sending it around, and people were like, you know, you should try, because if an actor likes the material, they might do it. Like a short, it's only a day or two, you know, and like they want to do good work. They want to play cool characters, and you made something cool. So why not at least try?
Right.
So I sent the script to Amanda Plummer thinking there's no way she's even going to want to talk to me about it. We met for coffee in Koreatown, and 5 hours later, she was like stalking around the coffee shop with like her hands in the shape of a gun. Like, it totally had become the character already, and I was like, this is amazing. Everyone in the coffee shop was like, what's happening? And same thing with Brianna. We sent it to her reps thinking like, she won't even read it. There's no way.
Right.
And they were like, she loves it. Go to lunch.
Wow. You know?
And we had lunch. She's super down to earth.
Right.
Super smart, funny, like, lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not an easy shoot. She did all her own stunts.
Really?
She was on roller skates the whole time.
I saw that in the trailer.
She nailed it. And like, you know, to have to fall or like hang from a pole and do like a choking stunt or like to pretend that there's a gunshot happening, it's hard work. And she every time popped back up and was like, again? Like, you can't hope for a better attitude.
Yeah.
It's I'm looking at Amanda Plummer now, and she looks familiar, but also she's the daughter of Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
So that's why she kind of looks like him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's a good actress. I guess she's been around for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah. She's won Tonys. She's a phenomenal
actress. Pulp Fiction.
Theater and film. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. She's made a lot of films.
So you guys, cool. You made the short in hopes to get a feature? Like, is this kind of like a pilot for you to get like funding to make a feature, or for exactly. some guy to be like, I want to make the feature?
Yeah.
God.
A girl, yeah. I mean, hopefully a woman. But
right.
No, I mean, it helps to show people an example. I think people are really afraid of losing money right now. They're afraid of anything that's outside the box.
Right.
So it helps to show them an example and be like, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because your movie looks interesting just in the trailer, but then you go to like Netflix and you see like all like some of the content that's out, and I'm like, how did you get funding for this?
Right.
Like, this is one of the worst things I've ever watched 5 seconds of. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how did you get funding for this piece
that's
of shit?
True.
You know, but then it's like, you have a cool ass trailer,
right?
And we have to worry of whether or not someone's gonna write you.
It's a long process.
Oh my god, right? That makes me nervous.
And it's very competitive. I mean, so many people are trying to do the same thing, you know. But you actually took initiative here and made it your own project rather than go to other people and say, this is what I want, and work for them, you know. So, and that's the way to do it today, is to do your own thing,
right?
Because everybody else is busy with their own shit, you know? It's like, you got to focus on what you want, and I admire you for that.
It's easier when people believe in you, though.
It is.
Especially if you get, like, funding, like someone that's like, oh, I backed this project. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right, yeah.
Because unless you come from, like, a golden spoon and you can do everything on your own, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's
true.
I mean, it's hard. I've done a lot of projects where I would, like, work a day job in order to make my project. But when you're working, a film day is 12 hours.
Yeah, it's long.
So when you're working 12-hour days for, like, $100 to $300 a day,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, when I was a little bit younger, I was like, holy crap, $100 a day, like, amazing. Yeah. I worked at Sonic in high school. I got paid $5.15 an hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of a 12-hour day, it's not like you're full of energy to go write your masterpiece. Yeah. You're like, I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
But, you know, you make it happen. And I think that for me, the most important thing was to maintain ownership of my work. So I would work a crazy job. You know, I worked a 40-hour day once. I worked seven day weeks in a row. The film industry is notorious for being just like crazy.
Overworking.
Yeah, and it's super competitive. I don't know what other jobs there are where hundreds of people move to your town every day to try to do your job.
Yeah.
They do the same thing.
Yeah, so it is, you know that going into it. And for me, it was just important to make sure that I could do whatever I could do to own what I make.
Right.
So, and that's hard. You have to really like either.
What does it mean by own what you make?
Well, like, instead of working for a company where everything you make under the company is owned by them. And
For instance, if you make a movie for Warner Brothers, they own it.
Well, it depends on the deal. So it's like, you know, for example, I made a lot of documentaries that I made personally, that I made independently, but I've also worked for companies like a Vice, for example, where when you work there, whatever you come up with and whatever you make is owned by them. And it can be cool if you're just trying to make a bunch of stuff and cut your teeth, or if you just really love the company that you work at, great, that's great. But if you want to make something that's really unique or that's your own or it's personal to you, then I think it's important to find a way to own it. Because if someone else owns it, ultimately the decision is theirs. How it goes, where it goes, whether it even gets made or not. And if you care deeply about something, that's not going to work for you, you know?
So like, if you wrote a movie and you didn't make a short, but someone wanted to buy your movie, it would then not be yours.
It depends on how the deal is done. I mean, I think that this is the part they don't teach you in film school.
Right.
That you think if you know how to do the craft, then you can do the career, but it's not true. There's so much else to learn about, like, how to advocate for yourself. Nobody's going to write you a check and say, do whatever you want. They're going to want some participation, and that's fine. Like, if they're good executives, if they're good producers, then you're going to want to hear their notes. You're going to want to say, like, what do you think? Is this working? Is this moment hitting? Am I, you know, whatever the goal is, am I making people laugh? Am I making people cry?
Right.
Or, you know, startle and scream? Like, are we doing what we set out to do?
Right.
The hope is that you like and respect the people who are cutting the checks or who are working for the company, so that when they're giving you feedback, either you really like it and you think it makes it better, or their feedback, you know, that kind of thing where you don't really know what you want until someone suggests something that you don't want. And you're like, I don't.
Yeah.
And then if it's a good person, you can say, actually, I thank you for that note, but this is what I'm thinking. And if it's a good relationship, then it can be really generative.
Right.
But you have to know, you know, there's just so much of the business to learn about how to advocate for yourself, to make sure you do have a seat at that table when it's your baby. And to know, to be realistic about the first time you do it, you're not going to have that much power, you know, maybe.
Right.
And that to just know how then to surround yourself with people you trust,
right,
who are more experienced with you.
I don't trust
you.
Anybody. I don't trust a single soul. Even if they're nice, in the back of my head, I'm still like, when are you going to fuck
me? Well, you've been burned too many times. Yeah.
But that's real.
Maybe that's what you're attracting. You got to look at that.
Yeah. You know? Now I'm going to bring positive energy only, Sam.
Exactly.
But it's hard
with
to
your
be,
witches.
Yeah. It's hard to be optimistic but not naive.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But, you know, essentially it's a difference between being an employee and having your own business.
Right.
When you have your own business, you got to make sure you know everything, mm-hmm, you know, whether it's marketing, accounting, mm-hmm, selling, anything, mm-hmm, you know, and definitely your craft too. But what happens is many times artists are good at their art,
right,
but they don't know how to market it, they don't know how to sell it, they don't know how to get people interested.
That's
in
like
it.
Me, I like know how to do something, I just don't know how to get to the selling point. Like I lose myself at just the craft.
Yeah.
And there's such a long process in between. I think film and television, unlike, you know, music, you could go out and play the song,
yeah,
in front of someone, there you are, performer, audience,
right, theater, right, yeah,
if you can find a venue you can do it,
right,
and
or the sidewalk, hey,
or the sidewalk, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And and with film and TV there's so many steps and so many people and so much technology between, mm-hmm, you and your audience, and each person is a gatekeeper to a new part of the process,
right,
that they're an expert in. And there's, you know, it can be really scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one big lesson I learned was, you know, that sometimes the thing you think is going to be your job, it doesn't end up being. Like, I made a documentary once thinking, this doc, it's going to be, I mean, this is a very young thought to have, this documentary is going to be a sensation. And, you know, the doc never took off. But then someone approached me about adapting the documentary to make a fictional television show. I had never even thought of that.
Right.
And then suddenly I have this job, you know, coming up that's really cool, and that I'm like, oh, you know, maybe sometimes it's not the thing you thought it would be, but something else will come from that.
Right.
That will be even better.
Right.
You know, or that will lead to you getting to do the first thing that you wanted,
right,
to do, because you'll have the means to do it. And so I think that's something I get really excited about, is teaching people, or just talking to people who are starting out, or who are, you know, writers or making docs or trying to make projects, and trying to imagine all the ways it could come about, and
right,
not just have like this one idea and fight endlessly, you know, towards this one path that may not work.
Everyone always does that too. Yeah. I do that all the time without everything.
Yeah. Now, the character, is she a lesbian too in the movie?
Yeah.
What, because she got short hair?
No, because that's probably what she would do.
Well,
no,
I mean,
but she does look boyish in the movie, no?
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful.
She's very beautiful. I'm not saying she's not, but
she's
does have the short hair.
You saw, right, Deadpool, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She was in, I don't think she was, I think she was at the end of the first one, but she was like pretty much more in the second one.
Teenage Negasonic,
yeah,
Warhead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the badass attitude, who can't stand Deadpool,
yeah,
but Loki loves him at the
yeah,
same
exactly
time.
Yeah, so she, in the short, she has a love interest. So she has a crush on the bus girl, Rose, who's played by Ryan Simpkins, who's also
that's the one she was giving
actor
full blown eye contact,
yes,
with in the trailer, who had the hairnet on.
Yeah, totally.
You rocked that hairnet, girl. Yeah.
I know. I was so happy Ryan was cool with the hairnet. I was,
yeah,
like, how do you feel about a hairnet?
I'm glad someone in the restaurant business was wearing one, because,
yeah,
they don't wear them at all anymore.
I like that diner chic.
Yeah, because, yeah, that's what they used to wear back, mm-hmm, in the day. But they would like pin it with like a 50s bang.
Exactly.
I'm like, your bangs can still get in the food.
That's
pin
true
your hair back.
Well, now I saw a little part there in the trailer with this really mean guy, mm-hmm, and her. What happens there? I mean, does he attack her and stuff?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What's his role,
that's
basically?
That's,
yeah,
like scary. I mean, this dude was like,
yeah,
my
he's
God,
like a big ass dude.
I wouldn't want to be caught with him in an alley alone.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? The actor John Ennis, who he's hilarious. He's in Mr. Show and a bunch. He does a lot of comedy stuff. He's actually the biggest sweetheart, and I was like, so now's the part where you chase after this young woman, pin her up against the wall, pull a gun to her head, knock her down to the floor. And he was like, oh God, okay. And at every take he was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And she's like, yeah, John, let's do it again. I'm fine. Are you okay? You know, by the end of the day, like, he's crying, and all the women are like, you're the bad guy.
That's hilarious. How many days did it take to film?
We shot the movie in 3 days.
That's,
yeah,
not bad.
That was fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I mean, it seems very exciting to just watch a trailer. You know, mm-hmm, I really now So again, with the short films, people can't really see it until it becomes a big project.
Well,
right?
You could see it in LA, for example. We're screening at Outfest in July, so you'll be able to see it. I think it's the 26th and 27th at the DGA or for the Outfest Film Festival, which is a really fun film festival. Yeah. Everyone should go check out.
Okay.
And then, you know, we'll be doing some more festival screenings around the country and around the world. And then when we're done with festivals, we'll put the short online so people will be able to see it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. That'll be great.
Yeah, and then what happens after that?
Hopefully we make a feature version.
Right.
I mean, my main thing with this movie is that I wanted to make an action movie that right. had a female hero. Because right. I feel like I love action movies. You know,
yeah,
I grew
yeah.
up watching movies like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I love like car chase. I mean, I loved Baby Driver. You know, like there are all these.
I didn't really like that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Baby Driver was pretty cool, actually.
I liked the car chases. I mean, I just like, I'm a sucker for that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, why isn't this a woman? Like, why don't we
right.
have, I mean, I think that movie's good, but I'm like, why isn't there also a version where the woman is the hero and she's doing it.
Because they believe that people would not want to see it. I'm like, come on.
I don't think so. It's based on who's producing and writing and all that stuff. And I think they decide, you know?
Yeah, but what's their deciding factor?
Well, I don't know. But, you know, I don't know.
It's hard when they say things like, oh, you know, well, there's just no, you know, we can't find a comp, which means like they can't find a comparable movie. Like, there is no comp for, like, you know, a female war movie that did well at the box office. And I'm like, yes, is there any?
Yeah.
There's no comparison because you never tried it before.
Yeah.
I'm like, why keep making the same thing over and over again?
Right.
If you show people something new, they probably like it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why, that's your job, really, is the bigger picture is to really show that it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you started writing a full script for the feature, or are you going to put that in somebody else's hands? Oh, you want to write the whole thing?
I'll write it, but I would be, you know, sometimes I think it's fun to co-write. Like, mm-hmm. if someone's really good at action, they just know how to write those moments.
Because right.
there's a special thing with action where you want to, like, amp up the tension until everyone's, like, at the edge of their seat and then give them a laugh. Or
right.
give them, like, a cool stunt that they get to be like, wow. Like, mm-hmm. It's really a very specific genre. So, you know, when you're doing something like that, sometimes it's fun to work with someone who's just really good at that.
Right.
Or like, yeah, someone who's really good at jokes. Like, I love writers, and that's one reason I'm excited about working in television is that you get to be in a room with a bunch of writers, and each person brings something to the
table.
That's
true.
Oh, is that how television shows work?
Yeah, most of them are written by a group of people.
Yeah,
so how does that work? Like, someone writes, like, one character, and the other one's like, all right, well, this is how my character's responding?
No, they usually split up episodes. So you'll, like, everyone will be in the room, and you'll, like, camp out in there and crack a story or a season and make a big overarching plan, and then people are assigned episodes.
I need to get that job.
So it's not like decisions by committee. It's pretty much everyone
goes. There's a head writer and a showrunner. So, you know, their boss is calling a lot of shots. But, you know, people, if you're hired, it's assuming that they hired you because they like something about your style and your voice.
Right,
so you have some kind of say. And then when episodes are assigned, it's like what episode makes the most sense for you, you know?
Right.
And hopefully it's not just that the gay person in the room is writing the episode where there's a gay character. Like,
Or the black person's writing the episode about the racial discrimination.
I think that happens a lot. And as, you know, there's a movement for more inclusivity in writers' rooms, hopefully it will get more complicated and it'll just be like, oh, you're the right person for this because you're funny.
Right.
Because this is a scary one and you're good at that.
Yeah. I remember we had, who's the guy that's on Combat
Ethan,
Zone?
Ethan.
Who's his partner that comes every once in a while?
I can't remember his name.
Me neither, but he's one of the writers for Law & Order SVU.
Whoa,
cool. I think I remember him saying there's a room full of writers for that too.
Yeah.
Because he's done like only a few episodes here and there, but he hasn't wrote every single one of them.
Yeah, I mean, they do so many episodes.
Yeah.
So many crimes.
They're on season 21.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's a long ass time.
Yeah.
Mishka, how do you say her name? Yeah. Main character. Uh-huh. She must have a bank account. She's been doing that for like 20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's a lot. Yeah, it's a good job.
Them.
Yeah. Well, I've literally watched her grow up.
Yeah.
From like when she had like the short bob and was like 20. Now she's like 50. I'm like, what is happening?
That's how I feel about Grey's Anatomy. When I'm like, oh.
Yeah, they're getting older.
Like,
yeah,
you're not interns anymore.
Yeah. I never got into that show. I've watched like episodes here and there, but
I'm just like a huge Sandra Oh fan, so that got me hooked in the beginning, and then I was hooked. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Shonda. I like Shonda.
Yeah, yeah. How to Get Away with Murder. Mm-hmm. One of my faves. Yeah. One of my faves.
So the writer director is Drew Denny, and let's give a shout out to some of the people that worked with you.
Oh yeah, on the movie. I mean, yes. Of course, the cast: Amanda Plummer, Brianna Hildebrand, Josh Fadem, and John Ennis were our guys holding it down. And Ryan Simpkins, our beautiful bus girl.
Uh-huh.
And we had a rad LA-based crew, too. Ava Burkowski shot the movie. She's amazing.
Really?
And producer Rachel Netterveld. Yeah.
And how did you cast it? Were you doing this
yourself? So I actually cast several people through friends. Uh-huh. And we worked with a casting director, and she came up with a bunch of ideas that were amazing, but they didn't work out, mostly because of schedules and stuff like that.
Right.
So pretty much every person in the movie was a referral from a friend. Yeah. Wow. Amanda, Ryan, and Brianna were all recommendations of my friend, Justin Lerner, who had worked with them or auditioned them for movies that he was directing. And then Josh was a friend of a friend who knew him from another film, and Josh recommended John. So
you developed a network, and that's the way to do
it, right?
That's
really how it goes.
I mean, and directors, that's one thing also to think of when you're an actor, is that like when you audition for something, maybe it doesn't work out for that role, but if you hit it off with someone,
right,
they'll remember you and be like, oh, it didn't work for this one thing. But then they're in a conversation with someone like me, and I'm like, I need, you know, someone who can, she's got to be like stunning to look at. Of course, this is an action movie, but so she's got to have energy. She's got to be down to do these stunts. And my friend was like, you know what? I had auditioned Brianna for this other thing that wasn't right, but she would be amazing.
Right, right.
So then it's like, it's that thing that people will remember you, you know, and maybe the one thing didn't work out, but you'll be recommended for something.
Yeah, that's why you got to be nice to everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just
good vibes. Yeah, yeah, good vibes.
Yeah, you got to build a good reputation, you know, and that's what people don't realize. I think 90% of the jobs are gotten through other people, through people you know and stuff, you know what I mean? The good jobs are not advertised out there, you know? I mean, there's enough people going after it anyway. They don't need to advertise these jobs,
you know?
These roles or auditions or whatever, you know?
Well, and also you want to know, it is hard to make a movie. You know, like, it's not brain surgery, but it is hard, and it's a long day, like we talked about, that 12-hour day.
Right, and especially in 3 days.
Especially in 3 days. And you know going into it, it's going to be stressful. Things are going to go wrong. There's going to be emergencies. And so to me, when I'm looking at someone's work, obviously they need to be excellent at their job because I want my work to be excellent.
Right.
But I'm also like, who do I want to go through this shit with?
Yeah.
Who do I want at my side when there's an emergency?
Right.
Not somebody who's going to be like, well, screw this, I'm out of here. You know, like, not someone who's going to yell at people.
Right.
Not someone who's going to demean or make people feel bad. I want someone who's going to be like, okay, well, let's solve this problem.
Right.
Well, we knew something was going to go wrong, and now we know what it was.
Right.
Know? Like someone, and so to me, that also, when I work with people and I remember that, like if they had a good attitude, if they had good energy, if they were nice to their crew.
Right.
Also, when you're hiring department heads, you know, they create a vibe, and it's like, I've worked with DPs who are lovely to everyone on set, and I've worked with people who yell at people, and I remember that. I think I will never hire that person again, because no one should be yelled at at work. Unless you've done something
in front of people, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's what Steve Jobs used to do, embarrass everybody.
It's not my style.
The film is Momster, and Tribeca Film Festival. Did you go in there yet?
Yeah. So we did that in April. It was really fun.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big deal, right?
Right.
To be shown there.
Yeah, I had never been included in that festival before. It was my first time, and it was amazing. They're wonderful. It's a great festival. It's a fun way to, you know, great trip to New York to go screen your movie at that festival.
Is it during the winter or when it's warm?
No, it's in spring, yeah.
Okay, that's
so
good.
It's good weather. Yeah. We had a little bit of rain, but, you know, that just made it more dramatic.
Yeah.
I ruined my hairdo a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But
that's amazing, Drew. You know, you have ambition and success written all over you, and you started at a young age knowing what it takes to excel, and I think you followed that path, you know, and kudos to you for that. Great film, at least according to what we saw in the trailer, and we wish you all the best, you know.
Thanks.
People contact you or find out more about the film?
You can watch the trailer at momstermovie.com.
Okay.
Can they watch it on YouTube?
Yes, on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Drew Denny, so if you Google me, you'll find my website, drewdenny.com.
Sounds good.
Get in touch with me there.
Awesome. Drew, thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.